Support for this podcast comes from Wild Turkey Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Let's tune in to their one-on-one with Jamal, a real bartender from Old Fourth Ward in Atlanta.
I really get into the backstory of whatever I'm pouring. Out of respect, there are literally years of experience behind these bottles. Wild Turkey, same recipe since 1942. If you want a true classic, this is what you want to order.
Wild Turkey. Wild Turkey Distilling Company, Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. Copyright 2020, Campari American, New York, New York. Never compromise, drink responsibly.
Right, I think that once I see the Man City lineup, there's a forward-eligible player that's not Jesus in their front line, I'm probably going to play him.
Yeah.
But although, there's no one else. I mean, like, once you get past that range, like, you're dead.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. My name is Andrew Laird, Senior Soccer Editor of RotoWire. Joining us Friday, November 27th by Jordan Cooper to talk about Saturday's Premier League slate. Jordan, does it feel like the extra NFL slate makes us feel like the last soccer slate was like a year and a half ago?
Was it last week? I don't even remember.
Yes.
Was there a Nations League? I can never remember that. And since I spend so much time with the other sports, I don't get a chance to necessarily play Champions League. I mean, I will this Tuesday because in NFL there was an overlay. If you play NFL contests, they always give you tickets. You know, they have contests for like UCL, mm-hmm. and it seems like barely anyone plays them. So like, I just like, oh, there's an 8-man qualifier to 333, and it's like 5 minutes left, and it's like 2 of 8. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
give it to me. So. So I will be playing Champions League this coming week, but it's hard. I mean, I give all the credit in the world to people that play like every sport all the time, multiple sites.
It's crazy.
It's just not something that I could do very well.
Yeah, I'm amazed at how many people play multiple sports, like more than two, not just like soccer and football, but play like the soccer Champions League on Wednesday and then college football and Europa League on Thursday and the NFL slate and like all on one site, let alone like multiple sites. It's that's a skill set that is so far beyond me. It doesn't even matter. But I did play Champions League this week, but Premier League is the one that feels like it was forever ago. Speaking of Champions League, I believe, I don't know if DraftKings officially announced it, but King of the Pitch is going to be a Champions League slate this season. I believe it's going to be the quarterfinal matchup, which is 8 teams left, which is much more fun than presumably, even if we could get like a full 10-game Premier League slate. I feel like that Champions League slate is definitely more ideal.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I've no, if they were going to make King of the Pitch be one of these 3-game split whatevers, I mean, yes, I mean, you can do it. It's just not optimal. Are they going to have a Boxing Day traditional? Are they going to actually play like a ton of games on the same day at least?
I assume so. I assume so.
I'm looking forward to that. Like,
yeah.
Can we play Premier League slate with 5 or more games on it?
Yeah, it's. Yeah. I don't know if the decision has been made. I saw that some of the December ones have come out, but I don't know if Boxing Day has become official yet. And I mean, they do the same thing with New Year's Day too. They usually have like a big slate there. So just what everybody wants is even further congested schedule when people are going down left and right with muscle injuries because of the congested schedule. So anyway, we've got a 3-game slate again on Saturday. We've got 10 a.m. Eastern, 12:30 p.m. and 3 p.m.
They're ordered in the exact way that I want them to be ordered.
Agreed. I don't think it actually... I think the only thing that mattered was Man City. Like the other two games, like there is some movement, but I think obviously the Man City lineup is the one that we wanted. I got all fired up for how cheap Sergio Aguero was. And then it turns out Pep said today that he probably isn't going to start. Pep is like traditionally known for grinding his players into the ground. So it would have been perfectly acceptable for Aguero to play, even though he just came back from his own injury. But yeah, the Man City one is at least the one we want because they're home against Burnley.
Right. We have these 3 games. Man City are currently a -600 favorite at home. with Burnley. That's a 3.25 total. And the only reason it's not a higher total is because Man City apparently, you know, are having a problem scoring goals, but they likely shouldn't this game. Then you have Everton is a slight favorite. They're plus 105 at the moment at home against Leeds. That total's hovering around 3. And then we got the game that you don't want to watch. You have West Brom at home hosting Sheffield United. They're a marginal favorite, plus 160 or so. That total is getting close to 2. There may be peripherals in that game, but maybe not the best of upside.
Yeah.
Are you concerned at all? I mean, with Man City, I mean, they're not really playing all that well, but I can't ignore the fact that they're a minus 600 favorite. I mean, like it, like if they were that bad, the market would they'd be minus 250 or something, which would still make them the biggest favorite on the slate. But like I'm not avoiding Man City players.
I particularly on this slate am treating them normally, and the reason I am doing that is even though they haven't been scoring, like they have scored 2 goals in their last 3 games. So they didn't score against Tottenham. They had 1 against Olympiacos in the Champions League this week, and then they scored 1 in the draw to Liverpool. I'll even go back. I guess Olympiacos is probably a much better indicator of how they should play against Burnley than they would against Liverpool and Tottenham. They were probably much bigger favorites, but still it's minus 600. They took 20 shots against Olympiacos and created 18 chances. 22 shots and 19 chances against Tottenham, and then 22 and 17 in the reverse fixture against Olympiacos. So like they are not scoring goals. This is going to sound very weird talking about Man City. They're not scoring goals, but the peripheral points are there. And it's weird to say that because we usually have to play Man City because we're like, oh, they're just going to score all these goals. But like the peripheral points are there. A Man City floor game on this slate is still better than every other team that we could be considering. So it's like, if you're not going to play Man City, you're like, oh, then I guess I'll just like stack Everton. But like, Everton's going to have to be full ceiling game, and you just don't play guys like that, at least in cash games. Like, you don't play that way. So I think you're playing Man City, even if they were expected to score 5 goals, you're going to play them the same as if, you know, they're going to have a dominant 1-0 win. I don't think it changes anything.
Especially when the prices on these Man City guys have come down.
Way down, yeah.
I mean, normally we'd see these slates where De Bruyne would be 12,000 and all the forwards would be 9,000. We don't. But, I mean, you have to admit that probably the best game on the slate is Everton Leeds.
Yeah.
Like, if I were to pick a game that's going to end, like, 5-4, it's probably going to be that game. Like, the Man City game, it's either going to be 1-0 or it's going to be Man City, like, pummeling them. And in the West Brom-Sheffield game, if you told me that game was -1 to -1, like, I'm not going to be shocked.
Yeah.
So, I think for GPPs, I think the more appealing options are in the Everton Leeds game because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Like that there's like you could go so many different ways with their players on both sides of the ball and try to grab goals and assists. I mean, if it does score high, rather than like play a Burnley player or stack the West Brom Sheffield game. So I mean, cash is a different story. I think there are clearer cash options that you could play. But I mean, if you told me you were playing an Everton and a Leeds player in GPP and it's not someone I'd play in cash games, I wouldn't call you nuts.
Yeah, totally. While I was writing, it's like Dominic Calvert-Lewin, it's weird to see him as the most expensive player or forward on the slate. He's $200 cheaper than De Bruyne. Like Calvert-Lewin as the most expensive forward on a slate that has Man City at home against Burnley seems wild.
But like, you're not playing him in cash. I mean,
no.
Really?
No, you're definitely not. And I made that point that like he has the second highest anytime goal score odds on the slate. Like Jesus and Aguero are ahead of him, but I don't think both of them start. They're not high enough where you're like, oh, I'll play. I mean, this isn't like Ronaldo or Lewandowski in the Champions League. I think not many people are going to play him, because if you see that you can get Richarlison for $1,600 less, like, you have to imagine more people go that way, right?
Yeah, but I mean, it's still GPP on a 3-game slate. So, yeah. I mean, Calvert-Lewin's going to be owned.
Yeah.
But I mean, the burying the lead. I mean, the highest owned player that's going to be up here is James. I mean,
yeah.
At 9,300, Lucas Dean is out for, what, 2 months at least? I mean, if Sigurdsson doesn't start, I mean, like James, actually, the way that they're playing now in this 3-4-3 formation allows James to play basically just offensively. He doesn't really have to track back much anymore. So on top of being on, a majority, if not a monopoly, of Everton set pieces, as well as playing in the front three, like at 9,300, I don't think there's a safer floor on the entire slate.
I totally agree with you. I think, yeah, he'll be the most popular in cash. Like, I thought the only way that he, and it probably didn't even push James's ownership down, but like the only way that you don't go there is if Aguero had started, because Aguero at 6,100 is comically low. But even
still,
then,
most likely you'd be pairing Aguero with James.
Right, that's what I was going to say. So yeah, I think James, James was going to be popular even with Dina. But the fact that Dina is out, just like if Sigurdsson plays, it probably hurts him a little bit. But I don't think it actually pushes anyone off of James.
Right. I mean, this forward pool, this slate, I find to be incredibly condensed.
Yes.
There aren't many options. I mean, if you want to try for a cheap goal down low somewhere, I mean, I guess. But I mean, I think you're playing James, and I think you're playing whoever starts in the front line of Man City that isn't Gabriel Jesus.
Yep.
So you're looking at Mahrez or Sterling. So I mean, you're most likely going to do that. You're not going to play Dwight McNeil as a huge underdog at 7,300. I mean, Bamford is way too goal dependent. You're not going to play him. I mean, Jesus, you could get away with. If you showed me a Jesus lineup, you know, if they start like Ferran Torres and they start like midfield eligible players in the front line where you may not want to occupy two spots. I mean, even if Bernardo starts, like he's forward eligible. Okay, I get it. The only other guy that I would consider, that I would consider are the Leeds guys. But the problem being is that you're not going to know who starts. Because, like, I like Rafinha.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it could be Rodrigo that starts. I mean, Helgeter Costa could be there. None of them could start. I mean, it could be – I mean, who knows what their lineup's going to be. And they're the second game. So if I see, like, Mahrez or Sterling in the first game, I think I'm – I mean, they're probably – with that being a minus 600 favorite, just on the goal odds alone – they're probably better plays than the Leeds players anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but if you were to build a lineup that fades James and plays one of the like mid-range guys, the problem with this slate is that other than De Bruyne, there's really no midfielder to pay up for. I mean, all the way up for.
Right.
So I don't think that construction goes, but. But I would, but I mean, if we see Ferran Torres, if we see Phil Foden, if they start playing like, and they play with like Fernandinho and Gundogan, like all these midfield only eligible players, I'm not saying they will. I'm assuming one of Mahrez or Sterling is going to be in the lineup. I mean, chances are 95% of the time you're going to get one of them at minimum.
Yep.
But we could possibly see. That's why I like it being the first game that you see Foden playing. Up top, you see a front three of Foden, Jesus,
Torres,
and then De Bruyne, Gundogan, and Rodri.
Yep.
Right, and then you look and you go, there's only one forward eligible Man City player in their lineup, and I think that would lead people, a lot more people, to Jesus.
Yes.
To fill the forward spot, but for your lineup construction, it may be better to just wait and play one of the Leeds guys.
Yeah, I mean, you could always. Like you're probably playing multiple guys from that game anyway. Not that you're going to want to like get off of James because you didn't save enough, but like, I think you could build enough with the Leeds guys that, you could probably start with Rafinha since he's the most expensive non-Bamford option. And then just kind of play around from there.
Right. But I mean, I'm not even sure that's optimal. So I mean,
agreed.
Right. I think that if what once I see the Man City lineup, there's a forward eligible player that's not Jesus in their front line, I'm probably going to play him.
Yeah.
But although, there's no one else. I mean, like, once you get past that range, like, you're dead. Like, you're dead in cash games, but I mean, you want to take one of the West Brom or Sheffield guys for a cheap goal in GPP. I mean, I don't think you're nuts. It's just that the midfield on this slate sucks for the most part, other than De Bruyne. Like, you're probably more likely to be playing in GPP forward eligible guys that also have midfield eligibility than play midfield only guys. Like, you're playing three forward eligible guys. You're playing Charleston in a midfield spot, or you're playing Rodrigo in a midfield spot. Even Callum Robinson is midfield eligible. You could play him there if you want. So I mean, and then outside of that, you get no one that's starting. I mean, you just got a lot of just people that you're not going to see.
Yep. I think you're not giving Jack Harrison enough credit.
Well, Jack Harrison isn't forward eligible.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you moved on. I thought we were moving.
We want to move on. Okay. Sorry, yeah. Then I guess I'm not giving Jack Harrison enough credit. It's 7,900.
Right.
Well, he's 7,900. Let's get it out of the way. We don't have to talk about it. Kevin De Bruyne, 10-2. You plug him in. You forget. To me, I view this.
It's James late. KDB.
Right. Right. In cash games, you just like plug in KDB, you plug in James, and you figure it out from there. Mm-hmm. Like, at that point, you're just figuring it out. And the pricing is soft enough on this slate that you're fitting both of them in. Like, you can absolutely – this isn't like one of those Bruno KDB slates, and you have multiple guys that are 10K that you can't fit in. Jack Harrison is – I mean, okay, I think he's at best efficiently priced. What's going on with the Leeds set pieces now that Calvin Phillips is back? Like – does it matter? Like, do Leeds set pieces even matter? I mean, even if either Phillips takes the most of them, or they split them up enough that, like, great, like, why do I care?
Well, shouldn't you care about set pieces in the game that might be the highest scoring one on the slate?
Sure, but then we could talk about Calvin Phillips. Sure, okay, that's fine, but he's also a defensive midfielder.
So yeah, I think Klitsch is actually the one that you go to.
Okay, but I mean, what they could all be in.
Yeah, I mean, they were last game, and Klitsch and Phillips split.
Okay.
Like, I think Klitsch at least gets a split when he's in. And if he's not in, that's when Harrison starts to get some opportunities.
Right. And I think so but that's why I look at Harrison for cash games going, why do I need to pay $7,900 for him? It's like GPP, sure, have fun, go all you want. But I look at this and in this range, to me, what's going on with the West Brom situation? I mean, we saw Conor Gallagher take two corner kicks last game. Is that going to continue? Because Pereira was in for 90 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. I do not anticipate Gallagher having a set-piece monopoly for West Brom.
Okay.
But that's not really the question. The question is, does Pereira get enough?
Right, right. Because the problem with Pereira... I mean, the upside of Pereira is that if he's going to be a monopoly West Brom set piece taker for 6,900, and he's an attacking position, so he has open play value, that's fine. But I mean, the upside in that game is limited because we don't expect there to be much scoring. So like the peripherals are there, but is he worth 6,900? Like, would you rather play Pereira or Klitsch?
Right.
With the split of set pieces or whatever in a much better game.
I think you take the split.
Also, you'd rather play Klitsch over Pereira.
I think so.
Okay, but you wouldn't be nuts if you played Mateus Pereira.
Nope, I mean, not at all.
And also, it could turn out, he doesn't even start. I mean, he was injured, so I understand why he wasn't in a couple of games. Yeah. But you know, I mean, the late game. Because if you play him in the late game, he doesn't play. You're just leaving money on the table at that point. I think most likely on this slate, most likely you're playing three defenders in cash games. I mean, you don't have to, but I think you're more likely to.
Hmm.
Or you don't agree with me there.
I think I didn't have a three defender build.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now we're gonna go down into the midfield cheapies, and we're gonna see we're gonna start comparing midfielders to defenders now. Okay, we'll get there.
That's fair.
Obviously, you can play Calvin Phillips if you want. He's the Ashley Westwood of Leeds. He's the he's the type of guy that I play too much of and lose. So like, in the past at least. So like his open play value is limited as a deep lying midfielder. But if he just wakes up with a monopoly of set pieces for Leeds, 6,400. I think he's priced for that.
Yes.
He's not priced for a split. He's priced for if he had them all, he should be 6,400.
Which kind of applies to Klitsch also is the problem.
Yeah, but Klitsch at least gets some more peripherals because he plays hot on the pitch.
Theoretically, yes.
Right. What's going on with Sheffield set pieces? Is it, I mean, I've seen some games where Lundstrom takes some. I've seen Fleck take them over Norwood. Does it matter?
Sure, why not? Against West Brom?
Okay.
I think Fleck at 5,500, Fleck was out for a long time with an injury. But I think Fleck at 5,500 is priced as if he has a split of set pieces, which is more likely than a monopoly. But like we have the West Brom guys likely to have a split, but priced as if they have monopolies, and Fleck is priced as if it's a split. And I mean, he could have all of them, I guess.
Right. But I mean, he still does enough in open play.
Yeah. I think 5,500 is a very, like, I think he's actually underpriced. But I think if you're considering any of these guys, and obviously we'll know he'll start, so we don't have to go too much into it. But like, if Ferran Torres starts in the front three for Man City at 5,800, why am I taking Sheffield United's partial set pieces instead?
Right. No, you're absolutely right. That's why the Man City lineup matters so much. And I don't mind playing Torres, even if I'm playing Sterling or Mahrez also. I mean, like, they're a minus 600 favorite with the highest total on the slate. Like, I'm just load up, you know, just if they're in. I mean, he's much different than someone like Foden, who's 7,500.
Exactly.
Like, Foden, I mean, the difference in what, 1,700? Like, I mean, I'm going to need more goal. I'm going to probably need a goal out of him or an assist out of him. But Torres, if he gave me 9 points for 5,800, like, I'm fine. Good. Give it to me.
Yeah, like, he is just as – he's probably more likely to hit nine than, like, Fleck or Phillips. Well, maybe not as more likely, but he's in that range, certainly. And he has significantly higher upside.
Right. Obviously, you have like Diangana on the kind of semi-winger for West Brom. I think what do you get out of that? I mean, yes, he peripherals, right? 6.5 points. Thank you. I mean, yes, I obviously show up with a goal and an assist, but I mean that's the lowest scoring game on the slate.
By a decent amount.
Right. So cheapy guys. I was hoping he would be forward eligible. Not hoping. I mean, just give him a little bit more options. Seamus Coleman is injured. I mean, he could play, but I mean, most likely. I mean, from what I've seen, he's doubtful. They've been playing Alex Iwobi as a wing back. He's 3,400 and midfield eligible. He put in 5 crosses, so I mean he does something. If he really needed a punt midfielder, what's wrong with taking the home favorite in a game that's expected to score a bunch of goals?
So they have been playing Iwobi as a wingback is really they played him once there and it happened to be last week. I think.
But if he's in, okay, then screw the wingback. What happens if he just happens just to be in?
I think that's fine. Obviously it's not the first game of the slate. I think we're more likely to see like Jonjo Kenny and Ben. I think they're going to play actual defenders just in a back four. Like last week they played a 3-4-3, I think for the first time all season. Iwobi was part of that, but like, I don't see it. If he's there, then that's fine. So the guys I mentioned who would potentially play at left wing back are defenders, and they're in the same price range anyway. So you're not like changing that much if Iwobi does start because you're not using all of your midfield spots in the first game. I guess you might be if you have Torres and KDB, and then you get you have your utility, and there goes your three defender build. But I think Iwobi's fine at that price.
Okay. Okay. If I could get you to say he's fine to Iwobi, that means, okay, that's not bad.
Yes. That's a weird price.
But is there anyone else down here? I mean, other than just you're just punting somewhere and hoping to get lucky?
I mean, you're obviously not paying $4,700 for Ashley Westwood, but I'm surprised you didn't consider $4,300 for Norwood.
I mean, you have to consider it, I guess. I mean,
I meant like you.
Me personally. No, well, I'm saying I like I prefer defenders in that range. I think there are more defenders on this slate in this 4 to 5K range that have that at least have some clean sheet equity and get forward. That do I need to fill my flex spot with a midfielder within this range? That's why I take a look at Iwobi. I take a look at Norwood. I take a look at the defensive midfield Gundogan if he's in, like all these guys. I'd rather play the fullbacks in some of these games rather than the defensive midfielders.
Do you think Gundogan's like 85% if De Bruyne doesn't start?
Oh yeah, well, most definitely. But I mean, De Bruyne is going to start. Yeah. So you know, I mean, but if De Bruyne doesn't start and Gundogan's at 3,800, you're going to have and Mahrez isn't in either.
Right.
Right. Then you're like, okay, then he's going to be the 98% owned player in cash games.
Disgusting. Ugh, I hate playing him.
Defenders. Okay. There's a lot to talk about at defender, I think.
Okay.
Okay. You seem very skeptical.
I'm excited to find out all of these great plays.
Oh, they're not great. They're just all about the same.
Oh, okay.
So, great. You can't play these guys, and they're probably still better than the midfield range.
I agree. I don't even know who you're going to talk about, but I agree that the midfielders in the range, defenders in the range of salary that we're talking about are better than the midfielders. But I also consider both of them dead zones.
Okay, but you're probably still going to be playing two of them.
I think you're playing two of them. That's why I was surprised that you were like a three defender build.
Two of a lot of people, so we got to tell the people who to look for. I mean, come on.
All right, hit me.
Can't say it's not one of these slates where it's like lock and Lucas Deanian and punt it somewhere and then you're done. I mean, like it's not going to be like that.
Yeah.
So, weirdly enough, the worst options are the Man City fullbacks to me, Cancelo and Zinchenko, and whoever starts, Kyle Walker.
I mean, it's not whoever starts because Benjamin Mendy's 3,800.
Yeah, how many times did Benjamin Mendy have negative 2 points? I mean, like. That isn't a lock and load, but yes.
He had eight crosses. I mean, he played earlier this week, which is why I don't think he starts, but he had eight crosses against Olympiacos.
Okay, well, I haven't gone down there. I'm talking about the top of the top.
You said Man City, and so I had to.
Okay, well, the Man City guys that are priced.
Yes, these guys are ridiculous. Yes.
Okay. You got the Leeds guys. I think all the Leeds guys are in play. Alioski, Eiling. Stuart Dallas is somehow still listed as a defender, even though he plays as a central midfielder and is active. So Stuart Dallas at 5,500, like any of them, like pick whichever one you want, and I'm fine with. Like I'd rather play the Leeds defenders over the West Brom ones. But the West Brom, like Furlong and Townsend, like they're not bad. I mean, the West Brom crosses a ton. So like I think they're efficiently priced. If you're in that range and you want to plug someone in for a median, I think that's perfectly fine. I think Baldock, you don't have to go there at 5,100 for Sheffield.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the more interesting players are the ones that are cheaper.
Yes.
So, like, you got Max Lowe, because Enda Stevens is doubtful. He's not going to play.
Yep.
So Max Lowe is still there. He's not, like, 2,500 cheap. But still 3,800 playing as a wing back for Sheffield against – I mean, West Brom and Sheffield haven't won the game this season. So these are two bad teams.
Yeah.
So to me, away, home, it doesn't matter. This is an even game. And then you got Jonjo Kenny. If he starts at 3,400, like to me, like that's the defender that – like I'm going to plug in Jonjo Kenny, and then I'm going to choose someone – I'm looking at like Kenny Lowe. And then I'm playing one of those. Then it's like Dallas, Eiling, Furlong, Townsend, Alioski. I mean, just one of those guys in my flex rather than like a $4,800 midfield. Like, I don't have to play Iwobi. I don't have to play Norwood. I don't have to play any of those guys. But there's one more guy that I want to mention just in case. This is the just in case one. Okay. In case they don't play Iwobi as a wingback and they still kind of want to play some type of regular fullback, we have Nkunku, 2,500. He's a young kid. He played a little the game before, I guess. He came in due to the injury.
Yeah.
And he's 2,500. So but you're not going to know. The problem is you're not going to know this with the first game. So, I mean, but I just think in the first game, most likely you'll just going to fill a forward and a midfield slot anyway. So like for cash games, at least, like I wouldn't necessarily plug him in to start because I think the chances of him starting are probably under 50%.
He started the last, like the game that he played, he started.
Okay. So maybe they start him again. But the fact that, but also understand that the fact that they tried Iwobi at a wing back position doesn't bode well.
Doesn't bode well, yeah.
Confident they are with Nkunku.
The other possibility is Ben Godfrey, who is a center back, playing as the right back and Kenny playing as a left back, which is his opposite side. Which seems silly to me if you have Nkunku here to play left back since he's actually left back. I don't think that's I think the fact that that's the second game is fine. Like, I don't think you're taking too many spots up with Man City that's going to throw you off. So I think if the games were...
Most likely, if you're going up and down, you're going up and down with players from Everton, Leeds, West Brom.
Exactly.
Like the type of thing where you look and you're like, okay, I'm going to plug in Kenny and Lowe, and it's like Nkunku becomes available, and now instead of playing Stuart Dallas or John Fleck, you're playing Mateus Pereira.
Yeah.
Because you now are able to go up, or you know, you're doing something, or to Klitsch, or to Harrison, or to, you know, you're doing something like that, or you're switching stuff around, or you're going up a goalkeeper. You're going, okay, I'm going to switch. You're not really going that much. You're switching Meslier to Pickford or something. I mean, which doesn't matter that much, but I mean, you could do it. But I'm building to start as if he's not playing. I'm just going to assume that they're not going to have Nkunku start, because I'd rather figure out how to get him in rather than how to figure out how to get him out.
Right.
And even if he's in, it's not like it's a smash play. It's not like, oh, no, you got to get him in.
Yeah.
Because maybe you don't have to. So, like, if you like your lineup, that's perfectly fine. But you're going to get when we get these fullbacks at minimum price for favored home teams in high total games, like, if we got all three games at the same time, then obviously you could just build as you would.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just don't think it's a war. I mean, if you wanted to play him over low, that's perfectly fine also. I mean, like, none of these defenders are
good.
Like, you got to jam him in or anything, even Kenny or something. But they're obviously going to project better for their salary because Kenny probably should be 1,000 more expensive.
Yes.
Right? I mean, like, low should probably be 1,000 more expensive. Like, the other guys are about efficient. You're getting... Okay, but you get a nice floor with them. They're better than playing center backs.
Yeah.
Or underdog, you know, only fullbacks, which you're probably not going to do. But outside of that, I mean, do you see anything else at defender that other than what – I mean, you made fun of me for, like, oh, all these guys you're going to mention, but, like, you have to agree that the guys that I mentioned are all viable. If they were the last spot into your cash lineup and you have Connor Townsend there, you're not going to look at someone in a head-to-head and go, they're stupid.
True. I'll give you that. So you think the upper tier defenders, meaning not like the Cancelo, but the Leeds ones, are better than Fleck?
They're similar enough.
Okay.
Right, and also you're not going to know, and also the Fleck's in the third game.
Yes, that's true.
So it's the type of thing that if Fleck, for some reason Fleck isn't in, now you're sitting there going, well, I guess I'm playing Furlong.
Right.
I'm like, and that's okay. And that isn't the end of the world even. So, but I mean, Like, I'd rather see who's available to me in the Everton Leeds game and go, well, do I play Fleck or do I play Ayling? It's like, why don't I just play? I mean, why not? I mean, one Dallas, Ayling, Elioski. I mean, I think they all have 6 to 8 point floors and obviously upside for more than that. They're active.
Right.
Did we expect this? We don't expect Everton to shut them out or anything. That this game should be quite open.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I think the Everton Leeds game is the one that with the most amount of peripheral points available, possibly the most amount of points available.
Right.
Just from goals, assists, chances created, that if I'm going to side with something, like, why don't I just, instead of waiting for Fleck, like, why don't I just take Stuart Dallas, right, 5,500 instead?
Yeah, I get that. It's fine. Is it an Ederson slate?
I don't think you have the money to pay up. It depends. You can.
Would you play?
You never want to play him.
If it's a low, like if the Man City game is 1-0 again, because that's all they seem to play at this point, or 1-1 kills it, but 1-0. Does Ederson make up for the potential goal you don't get? Like, do you not play Jesus?
Past games, you're not playing. You're not fading a goal. I don't expect Jesus to be popular enough where, like, I need to play Ederson. I think the popular goalkeeper on the slate is going to be Ramsdale.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the cheap. I mean,
the cheap guy in the low scoring game.
Right, right. You play one of the two. Right. John Stone is 4,800. Ramsdale's 4,600. It allows you to get at pretty much whoever you want to play. I mean, a cash construction. I think Ederson curtails some of that. Like, yeah, if you want to play a Wobey in a midfield spot, if he plays.
Yeah.
Yes. You're playing Ederson. If you're playing Norwood instead of Fleck or something, like, yeah, then maybe you have the money for Ederson. Right? If you're playing Sterling instead of Mahrez, you're saving a little bit of money, and then you could save a little on defense. You're playing Kenny and Max Lowe, and then you could get Ederson. Like, those would be the considerations in your lineup. But I think the least rostered game is going to be the late game. So, like, and you're not going to know who's going to be the more popular goalkeeper. So, like, it could be the type of thing where heading into the late game, if you're behind, like, correlate. I think that because not as many people do it. I guess more in soccer, because now a lot of people that play soccer are used to it now on these Saturday slates, that late swap is a tool. I think if you're down and you have two spots left, like, let's say you played Fleck and John Stone. If you're down, change John Stone to Ramsdale.
Right.
To correlate that. Like, if you're down, you need something to happen. You don't want Fleck to score and then also take points off your goalkeeper. Like, if this was three games at the same time, you could do that. That's perfectly fine. It's just that now you know you're 8 points behind the cash line. And it's like, no, you're going to need – you want a win and a clean sheet out of your goalkeeper as well as your other player to score a goal.
To score the winner.
Right. Both can't happen at the same time. So if you end up in that position, correlating them would be better. And if you're up, negatively correlating them would be better, right? To make sure you get one or the other or something like that. Because the likelihood of you being able to – obviously going down through head-to-head matchups, you may be able to figure out if someone played John Stone or someone played Ramsdale, and then you can block. But I'm saying for, like, double-ups where there's no clear goalkeeper chalk or anything, like, you're not going to be able to tell. If you only have one of these goalkeepers – as the last spot in your lineup for the late game, and you're behind or ahead, like, how would you know who's going to be more? I mean, like,
yeah,
play whoever you want at that point. If you want to go down from John Stone to Ramsdale and say, okay, it's not going to make that much of a difference. Mm-hmm. This only comes into, like, if you have Lowe in your roster, like, let's say you're playing Lowe and you're playing John Stone, like, no, you switch to Ramsdale because you want the double clean sheet bonus. To make up the points. And then if you're ahead, maybe you want to switch. And then, hey, if you're really way behind, now you're starting to take center backs.
Sure.
Like, and but you also take the center back with the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So you want the weird center back goal off the set piece as well as the win in the clean sheet. I mean, we don't talk about late swap that much. I mean, we talk about that's why we like certain games to come, the lineups to come out before one another. Because it's like, okay, you're going to have to plan for this ahead.
Right.
But now we're kind of not talking about, oh, you need to plan for West Brom and Sheffield. It's like, you know, for a garbage game.
Yeah.
Like, but you need to be aware, cognizant after this Everton Leeds game of where you stand in cash games as well as in GPPs. If you're too far behind in GPPs, you're like, you're not going to win it, but maybe preserve some min cash equity.
Yep.
And just like if you're ahead, if you're winning a GP in first place and you got one slot left, like look to block as much as possible. We don't talk about that much here, but I see a scenario where people will have two spots going into the late game, and it's most likely going to be either a defender goalkeeper or a flex goalkeeper.
Yep. Yep, I see that. Do you ever have the situation where you're winning head-to-heads and you have goalie left and your opponent has nobody and you take the backup keeper?
Yeah, I've done that before.
How often does that happen? Like 0.1% of the time? Like never.
Doesn't happen at all. It doesn't. Right. Because a lot of times in the head-to-head lobby, I mean, it's barren.
Yeah.
Like it's not like I play them. I put up head-to-heads and then 5 minutes before I see that like 80% aren't even filled. So it's like, it doesn't take me long to go through my head-to-heads to see what's up. But also it's rare to have that situation where the other player has zero PMR.
Right.
Like there's someone there. There's something there. And we're within 3 points or 5 points or something. Where I still want the possibility of goalkeeper sure. points. Right? But it's very rare that, yeah. But no, I've done it before where zero PMR, I have the goalkeeper. I've done that on those slates where it's 4 games of 10 and then the one late game. Like when they did those slates.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'll take the goalkeeper from the late game and no one else. And then someone's like stacked the early games. And, you know, I'm up by 7 points or whatever. And then I just go, I take my goalkeeper and I go all the way down. Let me find the guy at 3,500 that is the fourth goalkeeper. I mean, someone that has no chance of playing.
Yeah.
Right. And then just like, because you're guaranteed to win. Like you're up by 7 points. It's like, dude, talk to Andrew. He's had goalkeepers that had like -16. Like it could happen.
You can't.
I don't think I've ever gotten a goalkeeper that negative.
I don't know if I've had double digit negatives. I mean, I probably have, but like.
No, I think in like a World Cup qualifier, I think you had like a -14. There was like a game where like it's 8-0.
Yeah, no saves.
No saves, right?
Yeah. I would roster the Gibraltar goalkeeper. That is something I would do.
Oh, he's going to see a lot of shots. Yeah,
but he saw all of them go right past him into the goal. Anybody has any follow for Jordan, you can find him on Twitter at Blenderhead. It's BlenderHD. I'm at RotoWire Andrew. You can also find Jordan's masterclass, Theory of DFS, at theoryofdfs.com.
It's a Black Friday sale.
Oh, Black Friday sale. Use
the promo code Black Friday for $10 off just today. Just Black Friday. I'm not one of these retailers where Black Friday starts November 12th and ends December 20th. It's one day.
One day.
And I don't get that much of a discount because I think the course has value. So I'm not going to just say, well, why don't you just wait for a sale for it to be half off? But if you want $10 off on the Theory of Daily Fantasy Sports, theoryofdfs.com, use the promo code Black Friday.
There you go. All right. If you are interested in getting a RotoWire subscription, you can just go to rotowire.com/subscribe. We also are offering 10 free days to the site. You can just go to rotowire.com/soccer trial. Jordan, thank you for all of that, and good luck this weekend.
Thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Podcast. For more great content, visit rotowire.com/soccer.